I'll be reading in Luke this morning. In chapter 2, verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time had come that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard the Lord had shown great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. You remember that Elizabeth had John the Baptist, which came before Jesus. And John grew up to be a man, and he spent a lot of time in the desert where he was taught and he was learned and he grew. And he came and he was the one that would come ahead and tell people of the coming Jesus Christ, of the Son of God. They needed to repent and prepare for this time. And you know, when he did this, a lot of people followed and listened, and a lot of people didn't. And I think we're in that place today, too, where a lot of people hear the truth. They hear about Jesus, but yeah, that's okay. I'll just kind of keep to what I'm doing, and life's good with me, so I'm just going to move on. You know, we were in Sunday school this morning, and Stephen was talking about the Passover. And about, when they were still in Egypt and had to put the blood on the doorpost. And they had to believe they had to do that first for that protection if they were going to be protected when the angel of death came through Egypt. And many did, and we talked this morning, there were some that probably didn't because, after all, they were maybe they had a good thing going in the particular person they served in Egypt and thought, you know, this isn't so bad, I'm not going to listen to that. And just like today, there's a lot of people that say, you know what, I know I hear this message of salvation and of why Jesus came and why he died for our sins, but you know what, my life's just pretty good. I don't want to rock the boat. I live pretty well. My needs are met. I still get to do what I want to do on the weekends. You know, I just really don't need that. But that's not how it ends up. It ends up that all of us have that day when we have to decide, are we going to follow Jesus Christ and accept his free gift of the sin covering that he came to be? You see, it's not that all of you, one of you, is worse than the other one, or I'm worse than you, or better than you. The fact is, we're all bad. And if we've done one thing wrong, we've offended God in the worst way. Because we have a perfect and holy God. He says, the only way that you can have access to me is through my Son and his sacrifice to cover your sin with his own blood, because he was the only one pure and holy enough to do it. And he did, and he did it willingly. And you know what's really nuts about all this? I know nuts isn't the right word, but it's kind of a word. What's crazy is that shouldn't we have to do something to earn this? I mean, shouldn't we have to have a mountain we have to climb and finally graduate from? No. We actually have to lower ourselves a little bit. We have to humble ourselves and say, yes, Lord, I accept this free gift. Isn't that great? That's all he asks. And somebody say, Pastor, you make it sound so easy. Because it is. And people say, well, what if I can't do this, and what if I can't do that, and what if my life can't change? He didn't ask you that. He asked you to trust him and let him change you from the inside out. See, when you have Jesus Christ in your life and the Holy Spirit's guiding your life, he begins to work on you and change you from the inside out. It's not something you have to work to do, because if you work to do it, you're right back to that place of thinking you have to work to be accepted, and there's no works we can do to be accepted. But he changes us from the inside out. These kids told a wonderful story today, as cute as it was. But you know, it fit. And you know, the parallels are there of people not this unbelievable thing that happened when Christ was born. One of these days there's going to be an unbelievable thing that's going to happen, and it's going to be when Christ returns. And I imagine there will be news people then there too. And how are they going to handle that? Of course, I hope that none of you are here when that happens. I hope when that does happen that you're all with him immediately. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And you know, Another thing that came out in Sunday school this morning, you know, when people will talk about, oh, you know, I don't believe that. You know, there's so many different versions of the Bible and this and that and the other. I want to tell you something. Investigate it. Ask the Lord to show you the truth. The truth is, we have the Word of God that was written over thousands of years by numerous people in numerous languages in numerous times, and it fits better together than any puzzle ever did because it was written by the hand of God. And there's no way that you can study the Word of God and not know its truth. It's not just a good book. It is the book. It is the Word of God. And it's to be believed and understood. It shows us everything in life that we ever need to have, to know, to question. Yesterday, the ladies, and I hope all of you that came had a good time. It looked like you did. But they were sharing some cookies, and Amy passed out some little bookmarks, and they were the coolest thing, because on the front and the back, it listed all the different situations you may run into, or feelings you may have, or questions you may have. And beside each one was a verse, and it tells you where to go in the Bible. And what was really neat was up, it's just the beginning, folks. Each one of those areas you can expound on, and as they overlap the other areas, they fit perfectly. Our God is amazing, and I ask you to give Him a try. Now, I know that this morning I didn't read the Christmas story. I will do that on at our New Year's Eve, Christmas Eve service. By the way, speaking of New Year's Eve, we are having a New Year's Eve party that will be from 8 till midnight over here in the KP Hall. On New Year's Eve. So if you want to come and play some games and have a good time, while I accidentally mentioned New Year's Eve, I'll throw that in there. So come and eat and have fun. But anyway, I'm going to do something a little different here. And you may think this is a very odd thing for Christmas morning, but I want you to take yourself somewhere for a minute. I want you to take yourself, how many of you, can you raise your hand if you were ever in the service? Who all served in the service? Don't be shy. Raise your hand. There's a lot of you. Oh, Frank back there. He's not going to raise his hand. He's too grumpy. There you go, buddy. You service people. Let me ask you the next question. Were any of you ever in the service at Christmas time? Yeah. Were any of you ever in a foreign theater at Christmas time? And I don't mean a movie place. Okay. Well, picture in your mind's eye, if you will, being away from home, and even if you weren't in a foreign service, but picture, if you will, being away from family and thinking about what family's doing back home, and you can't really be there, and it could be very lonely, couldn't it? It could be very difficult. Christmas is a time when we all want to come together. We all want to be with family. I pray that you do. And probably one of the loneliest places that you could ever be is in that position. Many stories have been told over the years about things that went on in some of the foxholes and trenches in World War II. And matter of fact, there's a story out there, I don't remember the particulars, that about where the two opposing sides actually took a break for Christmas and came together, and there was camaraderie before they went back to their trenches and fought again. That seems odd, but there's something about Christmas that's something a little bit different. So yesterday I was given something a little bit different. Many of you know that David Tomasso is in Iraq right now, and that's got to be a lonely place for him right now. And he felt it. He was moved to write a letter. And he wrote a letter to CCF friends and family. I got to tell you this morning, he's primarily writing this to younger people and to young people. So young people, I want you to listen up, because this comes from a soldier's heart that's far away from his family, and he could have done a million and one other things, but he chose to write you a letter. And I'm going to read that. And some of it does delve a little bit into government, so hang in there, but there's a purpose for all this. And as I read the letter, I was very touched by it. So his mom, Gwen, was concerned I wouldn't be able to read it because the print was so small. But Gwen, you forgot that we can enlarge things on a copier. I think David writes letters with either a microscope or a magnifying glass to write it. I don't know. But he writes very small. So I'm going to read this morning, and I'd like you to hang on to his words, okay? He says, "First of all, I want to express my utmost gratitude for all the letters from the Sunday school." So you guys that wrote letters from Sunday school, he really appreciated it. He said, "It's bittersweet to know that the kids are all growing up so fast. I hope I can still recognize you when I finally return. Much more importantly than this, however, it puts my mind at ease knowing that your little slice of America still exists, that your children may grow in the knowledge of God and the most almost forgotten true American spirit." I guess when you think about that, the true American spirit and appreciating what is here, being over there would really heighten that, to see the contrast in the two. I think that sometimes it would do us all good to be in a place to really see that contrast of what we really have here. But he says, "Do not take for granted your upbringing, and most of all, never be ashamed to speak the truth." I want to repeat that. He says, "Never be ashamed to speak the truth." The Bible says all authority comes from God. All others are false representations. As young Americans, always remember these words from the Declaration of Independence. To secure the rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This literally means the governments are created to make laws and uphold our basic God-given human liberties. With a system of justice only is approved by the people. Our government exists today to be governed by us, not the other way around. And why do you bring that up on a day like today, right? I bring that up because when Jesus came as a baby, and he came and he grew and he died for our sin. And as through the centuries, people learned and they grew and they followed the word of God, they knew that within that system that he put together gave us today what we have. These things are given to us by God for a reason. So you can have the freedom of worship here today. So you can have the freedom and the liberty to hear the word of God, to be convicted of your sin, and to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior without being hindered and inhibited. We have been so blessed as a nation to have that. And it's not something that came easy. Those of you that serve know that. Those of you that had family that served, maybe some of you even lost family. It didn't come easy. Well, I'm going to tell you, in setting this whole thing up, it didn't come easy for Jesus either. It says, he goes on to say, where he says, this literally means that governments are created to make us and uphold our basic God-given human liberties. They come from God. With a system of justice only is approved by that of the people. Prior to this excerpt in the document, the declaration says, we hold these truths to be self-evident. In other words, they're truths that you can see. They're already there. They're given by God. That all men are created equal. You know, we live in a time today when everyone's talking about equality. I want to live under God's equality. God made us all equal. He loves each and every one of you equally. God loves you. God designed each and every one of you with a purpose for their life, for your life. And he says, all you have to do is humble yourself and say, yes, Lord. What an unbelievable equality. It doesn't matter how old you are, young you are, rich you are, poor you are, talented you are, clumsy you are, or anything else. You're all created equal in God's eyes. That they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, or freedom. Personal freedom is liberty. And the pursuit of happiness. Isn't that wonderful? Well, Pastor, you're talking about being a Christian. That's not very happy. I've heard people say that before. That pursuit of happiness is pursuing what God desires in our lives. And it's the only way we will ever know true happiness. Is to live and be who God wants us to be. Not who the world wants us to be. Not how much money we can make. Or how many nice things we have. Or how many vacations we can take. I'm talking about the true happiness that settles in your heart. That makes you happy even if you have no money and you have no looks and you have no house. That's the happiness we're speaking of. The pursuit of happiness. Present-day education and the media would have you to believe that our founding fathers were deists or non-religious people. That is what's taught, that our founding fathers were non-religious. They didn't care one way or the other. If that's true, how did they just write what we just read about the God-given rights if they didn't believe? But they did. But I don't know how an atheist could ever make such a statement as this. I say all of this to emphasize that uninformed, ignorant populace should not be the only American voices heard. Let me explain what he just said. People that do not believe, that are ignorant of the truth, that are ignorant of our history, that are ignorant of what the Word of God said, should not be the only voices you young people are hearing. Seek to hear the truth from those that will tell you the truth. Seek the Word of God to study the Word of God and to know the truth. Don't believe the lies that are told you that people that want nothing to do with God. Stand. Listen here, kids. This is very important. Stand bold in your beliefs and convictions before it's too late. There may be one day when all these freedoms will be lost and timidity will perish. The Lord calls us to be humble, but also bold in these beliefs and values. The narrow path is a hard one to come by, and our vision is often clouded here on earth. Isn't that true? It's hard to find that narrow path sometimes, but every one of you this morning have the opportunity to follow that path, to find it, follow it, and walk on it, because you've been told, and and I know that you understand what I'm saying. Our vision is often clouded here on earth. What's he mean by that? I know what he means, and so do you. It's clouded by all the things around us. It's clouded by knowledge, by education, it's clouded by money, it's clouded by fame, it's clouded by sorrow, it's clouded by desires, all those things that are around us to cloud us. But we have to stay true to what's true and follow what's true. Ultimately, Jesus did not come as a baby and grow as a man to die on that cross so that we could live willy-nilly through life and not realize what he did. Mom and Dad, your kids need to know this stuff. They need to know it in their heart. And while many times we talk about the truth, we let them live like it isn't the truth. And we support a way of life that doesn't bring them to God, but it pulls them away from God. You know, the hard truth this morning is that if you go by statistics, which, see, we have a God that blows statistics right out the window anytime he wants. But if you go by statistic, we had about 10 kids up here this morning. Maybe 3 of them will be in church when they're adults, and the rest would walk away. That's what the statistics tell me. But I want to tell you good news this morning. That doesn't have to be the statistic. When we teach our kids and guide them, show them the truth that they know the truth, and talk to them to understand. Not just a thing of telling your kids, you're going to go to church because I said so. Well, that's part of it. Mom and Dad, you are the boss. Right? But you explain why. And you talk to them through situations. Take them to the Word of God to understand what's going on in their life and the situations with their friends, with their school, and the world, and what's going on. Open the Word of God and allow God to reveal it through you to teach it. Say, I'm not a good teacher. Trust me, He'll make you teachable. Teach our kids to know the truth. To know why they sit here. It's hard to come by, and our vision is often clouded like here on earth. But always remember, we're going to end in triumph now, okay? Always remember, the Lord will triumph in the end. Guys, I want you to know something. In the end, God wins. I don't know where your mindset is and where you're going. God wins. He's already won. And if you're following the deceiver, you're going to lose. And if you're taking your family that way, they're going to lose. God wins. Give it up. In the end, people will be rewarded for their steadfast faith and courage. You see, he mentioned in this letter not just steadfast faith that you have to believe it, but the courage you have to walk it. I don't think for one minute it doesn't take courage out there in that world to stand on the convictions you believe. Because I know it does. No one likes to be humiliated, right? No one likes to be singled out. But I want you to remember something my mom wrote in my Bible many, many years, decades ago. And I try to write it when I give people a Bible inside in quotations. One with God is a majority. When you're walking with God, you're not alone. You're never alone. You're walking with the majority. When that day comes that I draw my last breath, I want to close my eyes with that majority in God. Not alone, wondering what's behind the next curtain. So it says, he says, but always remember the Lord will triumph in the end, and his people will be rewarded for their steadfast faith and courage. And then he says, I love you all and can't wait until my next Ohio vacation. Love in Christ, David Tomaso. I read that letter yesterday and immediately knew I had to share that with you today as a message. Shot that message right out the window. Let me tell you something. This is coming from a young man's heart that's in the thick of it right now. And he's not here. And he sees here in what we have. You notice he said, in our your small slice of America. You guys, you live in a small slice of America. You're blessed to live in this small slice of America. Honor God. Honor God with this small slice of America. I pray that some of you aren't here today in church for the first time, but I'm glad you're here if you are. And I'm going to tell you something. Next week, wherever you go, wherever you are, I pray that if it's not here, you're in church somewhere. And you're saying, God, maybe I've never walked with you. Maybe I've never been close to you. But I think I'm ready to be. Don't ever think that you've lived a life that God can't forgive you of what you've done. Because you know what? By saying that, you're saying that his work on the cross was not quite good enough. Because it was. And I want to tell you something this morning. If he can forgive a sinner like me and bring me to his feet, there's nothing any of you done that he can't forget and forgive. He says, as far as from the east is from the west. You know what I think would make the best Christmas ever this year? And I don't have a way of knowing that. But if anyone sitting here today does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that this Christmas, the best Christmas present under that tree is the fact that you've surrendered your life to Jesus Christ and will live in eternity with Him. Praise God for that. Amen? Amen. Again, I want to thank you, kids. You did a beautiful job. You were cute. You know you're cute, though. Huh? We shouldn't tell you you're cute so much. Maybe it would have more effect when we told you where you were. Right. Think about that one a minute. I see Cassie going, what? What? Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and for all you've given us. We thank you for your many blessings. Lord, thank you for sending your son to come as a babe and grow as a man, to preach and teach the truth, and then hand his life over to pay for the sin of the world, including each and every person here today. Lord, in each and every sin that's ever been committed. Lord, it's such a free thing. We just have to humble ourselves to accept it. I asked this morning, and I know we all do, that anyone here today that has not accepted you as Lord and Savior, today is their day of salvation. Be with us as we go out. Let us have a joyous week. Let us love the people that we see in front of us. Let us always put others before ourselves and love them over ourselves. To do the good through you that you've called us to do. Now as we close today, Lord, we ask that you fill our hearts with joy. Prick our hearts when needed. And Lord, that we would surrender our lives to you. In your name we pray. Amen.